Welcome to Building Dreams, an insider's guide to home building with Timberblock. I'm Penny Carrick.
And I'm Aaron Burns.
Thank you for listening.
Today is an edition, an episode of our podcast that's a little bit different than normal and what we've talked about in the past. I'm looking forward to this podcast and our very, very special guest who a lot of you already know and who's been a guest on the show before. Tamara Gould is from our Ontario location. She's a home consultant. Welcome, Tamara.
Well, thank you, Penny. It's great to be here.
So, Tamara, let's just start with a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little bit about you and your position at Timberblock, but also you as Tamara.
Okay, well, I've been with Timberblock for about 8 years now as a home consultant. I love my job. I actually feel like it's an honor or a gift to be doing this and actually getting paid for it. Sometimes I feel guilty because it's just the most amazing job. Personally, I am a very busy woman outside of the office. I have 4 amazing children. I'm very involved with sports. My kids are very athletic. So I'm a trainer. I'm in charge of fundraising. Been involved with their school forever. So family is everything to me, and I keep super busy.
Well, and I'll tell you, Tamara, you and I have known each other for your entire 8 years at Timberblock. Mm-hmm. And I think you explained yourself perfectly well. You do love your job. You're very good at your job. Your clients are lucky to have you as their home consultant. And you are an excellent mother. Thank you. And family is very important to you. And so I do know that about you. Today, we're here for a very special and different reason. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And this is why we do want to talk with you. Breast cancer is something that is not just even a personal thing to you. It is part of you. So if you can, tell us why that is.
Yes. So last year in May, I was officially diagnosed with cancer, breast cancer. I was surprised, shocked, did not see it coming. I was in Italy when I got the call, actually looking over the most beautiful scenery in the world, or at least that I've ever seen. It was in Lake Cuomo. So I was at the top of kind of like the hill, and then there's this beautiful kind of cobblestone walkways down with stores on the side. And I was there with my best friends. And I was taking a picture of my friend Kelly, and it was just so like magnificent. I was like, this is going to be like the best picture blown up. And I was so excited. So I take the picture. And then as I finished taking the picture, my phone rings. And I was like, whoa, this is weird. So I end up picking up the call, and I was like, hello. And it was my doctor. And at first I was like, oh, hi. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, why are you calling me? This is so exciting. I'm in Italy, la, la, la. And then her tone changed. And then she's like, I'm sorry to have to call you on vacation, but I thought you'd want to know. And your results came back and you have cancer. Yeah. And I was like, I think I used the F word. And then, I was just a bit in shock.
Well, yeah. And going back, there was a reason why let's talk about kind of the year before that and led up with you getting that call and knowing that that call could possibly come.
Yes. So I think you'll hear me throughout today's time with you, Penny, that I'll reference about being so grateful, which I know probably sounds very strange to people. But I am extremely grateful for this journey, and I'll tell you why. So I guess about 2 years ago, I was seeing my osteopath. I went for regular treatments, and he found something near my breast that he was like, do you mind if I just give you a breast exam? And I was like, no, like, go ahead. So he did. And he's like, you know what? I don't want to alarm you. He's like, but I would ask for an ultrasound or a mammogram. I can't remember which one it was. It was one of the two. And he's like, it's probably like that you have fibro something boobs, which just means that I guess they're a little fattier. So, because I could feel the lumps. I actually had my doctor feel the lumps before because I had felt them on my own. But it's just, I think it's because I was a well-endowed woman and from the bras over the years. So anyways, I was like, sure, yeah, I'll like tell my doctor. And so I did. And, you know, she got me in, which she didn't have to, because sometimes they're like, you know, oh, it's fine, I watched it, it's blah, blah, blah. But she did. And so I went for the ultrasound, and then they called me back for the 3D ultrasound. And then they determined at that point that, yes, it was just, you know, fatty tissues or something like that. And everything was good. There was no cause for concern. So I was like, perfect. I'm glad we got that checked out. Fast forward a year, I got this call to confirm an appointment for my mammogram. And I was like, I don't have an appointment, because I didn't have an appointment written down. And then I'm like, are you sure I have an appointment? And it turned out that it was the following up, because I had been there last year. I guess they wanted to just make sure it was nothing. So they had me come back. So I said, okay, I'll go for it. Which sometimes people might be like, oh, I'm fine, they said it was fine, and not go. But I did. I went. And long story short, they ended up finding something that was suspicious. No tumor, no lump, but like kind of like these calcium deposits or something like that. And then after going back and forth a couple times, I ended up getting a biopsy. And then the biopsy results came back when I was in Italy.
So the most interesting part of the story is exactly that, because at the time when you had those, you know, those tests, they probably did make you an appointment, and because they wanted to follow up, and then it all led to that, and you didn't even know you had an appointment, and you went. And to me, that's
But what's interesting too, Penny, is that it wasn't in the same area. So it had nothing to do with what they were keeping their eye on. It was something in a totally different spot.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like they caught it early. Oh, I got goosebumps.
I know.
They caught it early. You know, I could have not gone to that appointment. And it's kind of like, you know, you're never supposed to go, what if, what if? So I try not to do the what ifs, but I kind of look back and be like, thank you. I am so lucky. Thank you to my osteopath, who I feel saved my life. Thank you to my family doctor, who got the mammogram done when she maybe could, like, said, oh, you know what, Tamara, you'll be fine. Or maybe, no, okay. You know, but they did. And that literally, I'm sure, saved my life.
You have to credit yourself as well, too, because sometimes people, when you get that call and it's, you're just confirming your appointment for tomorrow at 2 p.m. And, you know, a lot of times they're like, what? I didn't have an appointment. So, no, I'm kind of busy. Let's reschedule.
You know what? You are so right. And if anybody is listening right now, I hope somebody's listening, but just to, you know, go to those appointments. Oh, my gosh. Go to those appointments. They're so important. Make the time. Yeah, make the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and I have followed your journey because, again, we have worked together for all those years, and but we're friends too. And we were very lucky as your friends and family to be able to follow your journey with you. You're very, you're very, you know, open about it with your friends and family, but also you're extremely, like, the way that, you know, because I was with you during all of that, and the way that you seem to manage this and go through this, and I'm trying to make it where to explain just the way that you were during this entire process, because you were fabulous, really.
Thank you. And to be honest, it was really selfish. So it may not have seemed selfish, but I had to protect myself, my energy, my mind frame. I had a job to do, which is really what it came down to. I was treating this as a new job, a new challenge. Everything else is now taking a back burner because I need to grab the bull by the horns and get through this. So what I had done was, you know, I have such a big support system, but I know from previous traumas and things that happen in our lives, you know, trying to keep up with everybody that is concerned about you. And like I said, my network is fantastic. Like I have one of the biggest, most amazing networks, and oh, I'm so grateful. But that's a lot of work and a lot of stress. And people, I know people are worried about me, and I know they're reaching out to my husband and they're asking my kids. And I didn't want that. Right. I didn't want that. I wanted to give updates. So I created a private Facebook group. And I do recommend this to people going through any kind challenging time where people are concerned. So I would jump on like before chemo, I would jump on when I was recovering from chemo, just to kind of let people know how I was doing, what results I was waiting for. And it really allowed us as a family to keep living, because I would only give, you know, cancer stuff a certain amount of brain space per day. But then it's like, you know what? The kids still have to go to practice. You know, I still have to do this. I still have to help maintain the house. I'm still working. I chose to still work when I could for my clients. And that was important to me. So life goes on. So you can't, you've got to like deal with something, decompartmentalize, and then, keep going.
Yeah. You're talking about your family. Let's talk about when you got that call in Italy. I do believe you had a few days left of your trip, but you wanted to get home, obviously, after getting that news. You went home a little bit early. And tell us a little bit about talking with your husband and your kids and all of that.
Yeah, so I ended up leaving the next day. I first climbed a mountain, and I can't remember the name of it, some kind of church on Lake Cuomo. I wish I was active, but I'm really not that active. So anyways, I climbed this mountain, and I just remember going the whole way. I'm like, okay, it can't be that bad. The cancer can't be that bad because I'm climbing a mountain. So I just remember like trying to reassure myself. But after that, we took some great pictures, and I was like, ladies, I got a job to do. I need to get out of here. So I did leave about 5 days early, traveled back by myself, which really enjoyed. I've never traveled by myself, and that was actually on my bucket list. So that was kind of fun to travel and navigate myself. I got home. My daughter had a dance competition. So I wanted to tell them, but I didn't want to tell her and the family before this competition. So when I got home, the kids were like, what are you doing home? I'm like, I just missed you guys so much. And I got homesick. And they're like, the older kids after, they were like, they knew I was going for the biopsy. And then the younger kids were just like, oh, okay, great to have you back type of thing, and off to do like with life. So when I sat them down and told them, it really was very direct. I said, hey guys, you know, mommy came home early. I did miss you, of course, but that's not the real reason I came home. So I tried to make it a little bit of a joke. And I said, you know what? I found out that mommy does have cancer. And I said, but if you're going to get a cancer, the doctor said, this is the cancer you want to get. So that's very important to know. The other thing is that we caught it early. And I said, other than that, I do not have a lot of information. There's going to be a lot of testing. There's going to be a lot of waiting. And we are going to deal with this as a family. And life goes on. So you still have to go to school. You still have to go to sports. Mommy's still going to go to work. We'll have meetings together. We'll cry. We'll laugh. But this doesn't change anything. It's like mommy has a bad cold is how we're treating it.
Wow. So after that, did you immediately go through treatments? Like what did it look like? What did the next few weeks look like for you following that?
Okay. So I honestly don't know. I don't remember. The thing about me with my recovery is I don't remember dates. I don't remember what happened when. I feel like I remember the positive things, the things that I did to take control of the sickness, or I call it, or to take control and grab the bull by the horns. Like what I can tell you is that when you get diagnosed, it's you can't help but be anxious. Everything you're feeling is like, okay, is it traveling? Okay, you know, I can't have a Diet Coke. Like, you just, it's a mental part of it, right? So you're constantly worrying until you have more information, right? And you just want to get into the treatment.
Right.
But there's a wait. So what I did is I was like, okay, you know what? There's a wait, 3 weeks, I think it was, for me to see a surgeon, or maybe it was the biopsy. I can't even remember. But what I did was, okay, I am going to try and figure out a way that I can get all my appointments moved up, because I don't want to wait. I'm not good at waiting. I'm anxious. So what can I do to help this, right? So, and that's important to make note of, is there's certain things that you can control in your journey. Some you can't, but there's a lot that you can control. So for instance, the one time I actually brought my laptop to the ultrasound at the hospital, and I sat in the lobby with everybody else, and I started to work. And I told the person at the desk that I had an ultrasound coming up in a couple weeks, but I have a fear that the cancer may have spread, and I'm just a little bit anxious. So if you have any kind of cancellations, or if you end up finishing a little bit early in the day, I would love to be able to, you know, be moved up. And she was very nice, and I was very nice about it. And yeah, they got me in that day. So for me, that was like a positive thing. It's like, I'm doing what I can. But I did that probably with every single appointment that I had. I just called in every morning. Good morning, Jody. How are you? I'm like, any cancellations today? I can be there in 5 minutes. And that gave me that feeling that, okay, I'm doing something. I have control over this, and I'm doing what I can instead of just sitting back and worrying.
Well, and I think that you being proactive like that, and why I wanted to talk about that, is I think a lot of people, I mean, just in general, you know, you have an appointment and you think, okay, well, that's my appointment time, you know, and you'll just sit there and wait. But your message is being proactive. And then not only that, but mentally for you, exactly like you said, that you treated this so much as a job, and it was your job as a mother, as a, all of that stuff. And so the persistence and the proactiveness of it, you got what you needed to get. And you got into those appointments early. And I also want to talk a little bit about this too, because we talk about how, you're grateful for sure of catching it early, but that didn't mean it was just, you know, okay, it's early, so I'm good. You actually did go through, as if it was later. And so,
So that was something I didn't realize. Cause of course I'm like, oh, it's early. It's small. And I'm like, oh, great. But then I still found out that I still had to do everything that, somebody possibly with stage 4 would have had to do, because there's all the cells that are floating in my body that can basically set up shop and grow. And that's the metastasize part of it, right? Which is what, you know, which is what you don't want. So I looked at all of my options. I had something called an Onca score. So it's this test that they do and let you know if you're going to benefit from chemo for the type of cancer that you have, or if it's not going to be beneficial. And I was right smack dab in the middle. So that was a really big decision, because, you know, if the chemo was going to work for me, it was like 3-4%. And obviously chemo does a lot on your body. Everybody, I think, knows that. So I kind of went back and forth over it. And then I decided to do it, because more so for the way that I think and my brain works about, you know, the what if, right? Like if I ended up getting the cancer coming back in 3 years from now, you know, if I chose not to do the chemo, if I had to have done the chemo, you know, would I have still got it? So this way I didn't mind doing the chemo, because for peace of mind, just kind of knowing that I did everything that I could to try and control it. Also got the surgery. So one of the great things that I learned from this, and I say great because I really do feel like I've saved my children's lives, is I was diagnosed with the mutation. So it is a genetic hereditary cancer that I have. So I made the decision to take the puppies off, and I'm now flat and fabulous, and I wouldn't change a thing. I feel great. I belong to like Flat and Fabulous Facebook groups where we, you know, figure out what kind of clothing that we wear with our new bodies. And so anyways, I've embraced that. And then the other thing that I'm going to be doing is I'm still going to be on a chemo pill for 5 years. And then I have another surgery coming up as well. So all preventative.
Okay. And so again, talking about the way you went through it mentally, I feel like your message is so, you know, it's about taking care of yourself mentally, but also physically, because I do know, again, from being your friend, that you really, really took care of yourself physically. You ate well, you were exercising, you were doing what you could physically to make sure that you were strong enough for these treatments too.
Yes, I went like full on, like I do at work. Like when you're working or when you're passionate about something and you give everything, or you're prepping for a big meeting and you're doing like 6 hours of prep for a 30-minute meeting. That's kind of how I was, the mentality with this journey. Actually, my green juice right now, that's one of the things that I've started to do.
Yummy.
Yes, it's got dandelion in it, and kale and spinach and ginger. So I juice every week, and I even have the kids having some, and my husband. But yeah, I did so much research. I worked with a naturopath as well to do modern medicine as well as natural ways as well, just to kind of complement each other. And it was great. It was very empowering. I lost weight. I actually look better, I feel. I look healthier now than I did pre-cancer. So I'm very proud of that. I lost about 30 pounds. But I took control. So I read, and I spoke to people that had gone through the journey, and I learned, for instance, one of the things is fasting before you go into chemo. And the reason you do that is so the chemo is more successful, but it also helps with your side effects. And I was like really good through chemo. I mean, there was one day that I felt like the devil had taken over my body, and that was hard. But for the most part, it's not like what I was reading that other people were experiencing, but like I took it really serious. Like I didn't put anything in my body for that duration that was anything processed.
I think that's also great advice too. I mean, it sounds like, well, yeah, I mean, it is the way that you would handle pretty much anything is being proactive and all of that, but you really truly educated yourself. And I think that's really important for anybody to know. And just even if you have friends or family or anything, the education and what to do for yourself, like, I don't know if I would know that, you know, about all of that and preparing yourself for those treatments. So, and joining those groups and those support groups and learning from others, sounds like that's exactly what you did. And, you know, what a role model for your children. I want to go back a little bit though, because there's a story that you told me, and it's, you know, it's on the lighter side of things, but it's so cute, and it's your son. So when you when you came back from Italy and you're going through all of this and you know, okay, here it is, your son, kids gotta love him. Tell me what he said when, during this conversation.
So, okay, I hope it comes across okay, because it's super funny and cute, but you have to also know my son, and you have to know our humor as a family, because we're like very, very easygoing family, and we joke about some things that maybe, you know, most people wouldn't joke about. So I came home and I was telling the kids about everything. And then I just, you know, I was talking about, okay, and you know what? That's the end of it. Anybody have any questions? And I said, you know what, we just move on. I promise to be open with you guys and keep you in the loop, but life goes on. And, Ryan puts up his hand. He was 12 at the time. He's like, Mom, he's like, you know, on social media, I think it was maybe Snapchat, or I don't even know, one of the ones, he's like, you know, people can send prayers for you. Like you put a post up and then, you know, I can say pray for my mom. And then for every like, it's like a prayer is sent for you. And he's like, can I do that? Because I think I will get famous for doing that. And I will get a lot of likes. And then like, we all start laughing. We just like all of us started laughing. And I'm like, buddy, you are not gaining famous off of my cancer diagnosis. Not happening.
Not famous.
I'm like, oh, wow. You can tell your close friends, but no, this is not a time for you to get famous.
Oh my God.
He's like, okay.
What a doll. What a doll.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talked a lot about everything really from how you got there to the call and all of that and what you went through. And as far as advice, general advice, we know, you know, mentally, physically, all of that stuff, joining groups, educating yourself. What other advice can you give to people there will be people going through the same journey that you have had to end ongoing? What advice can you give to others?
Ooh, okay. I guess my big one is own it. Own it. Embrace it. Because you are going to be alone with yourself and your thoughts, and it's lonely. Even though you might be surrounded by the best support system, it is lonely. So you have to be your best friend. You have to be your best advocate. You can't worry about anything else. Or, you know, when I was waiting in the room for, you know, to get that appointment moved up, you know, I can't be worried about the person next to me, or is it fair to other people? You know what? I'm not other people. This is me. This is my life. And I need to do what I can to survive for my family and be an inspiration to others. Because I feel like, you know, when I got the diagnosis, you know, sometimes people are like, why me? Why me? And I can honestly say, I said, why not me? Why not me? I was chosen for whatever reason, and I'm going to embrace it. And I'm here with you now, hopefully inspiring others that a cancer diagnosis is not a death sentence. It's, you know, it can be scary for sure, but it doesn't have to control your life. Life goes on. There's tons and tons of options and solutions out there. The treatment plans are incredible. So I like the idea of changing the narrative. So that's a couple of things. The other thing is finding humor. Okay. There's humor in everything. You got to keep it light. Okay. What's the alternative? Being sad and depressed. And, you know, that affects your health. And don't get me wrong. I was there. I was sad. I was depressed at times, but then I only allowed myself a certain amount of time. And I was like, okay, you had your pity party. You had your cry. You had your wine. Now it's time to move on. Another thing that I think is very, very important is I would write down in a journal everything that I was grateful for in a day throughout the process, and just constantly remind myself of so much good that is in my life. And throughout this journey, people that I have been grateful for. I remember going to the weed store, and I've never had weed. But there was these pills that you could get without the THC. I think it's just the, whatever they call it, CBD. And it was supposed to be good for bone pain. So I remember going in there and I was so out of place because I was like, looking around. I'm like, I don't know. It just feels weird for me to be in here. And I ended up breaking down, to this, I would say 19-year-old female that was working there. And she held me and embraced me. And I was like so grateful for her. I ended up giving her a thank you card and just letting her know how much of an impact she made for me in that moment, because it had kind of bottled up. And then she was there and she embraced me. And I was so grateful for that. Yeah, so those are some of the things. And then I would just say, yeah, the big thing is take control. It's your journey. It's your life. Fight for it.
There were certain things that you did too during all of this. And I know, I'm pretty sure that you have the sparkle shoes nearby. Oh, so let's talk about the sparkle shoes.
I don't know if you can see
them.
Oh,
they're on.
Oh, they're on. Yes. Well, I had actually, before I came to work today, I actually had one of my medical appointments. So my deal was every time that I would go for chemo or any kind of medical appointment to do with my cancer journey, I would dress up and I would own that appointment. So I had sparkly shoes that I wore. I saw them in the gift shop at the RVH hospital. I wanted them about 6 months before when I was there for something else, and I couldn't justify it. But then when I got my cancer diagnosis, I was like, bam, those are my shoes and they're going to be my chemo shoes. So I got that. So I wear them every medical appointment. And then I got these.
Oh.
Yes, I got these from a friend of mine. I order some catering from her on a regular basis. And she's such a doll. Anyways, she got me these. So they're also my cancer shoes. So they make appearances here and there. But yeah, like it's, you know what? I've got a job to do. I'm going in for chemo today. I would be dressed up. I'd have makeup on. And I'd be like, let's do this.
Wow. Yeah. Like you said, you embraced it and you really embraced it. I'm proud to be your friend and I'm proud of you and through all of this and the last year and a half and, you know, ongoing, of course. We keep talking about that, how we're friends outside of work and stuff. So obviously we're friends on Facebook. And so I'm scrolling through Facebook and, you know, I'm doing the Facebook posts. I'm on there all the time. And you come across, you go and you change your cover photo and I'm, Tell me, kind of try and explain this photo I saw this week on Facebook.
Okay, so I put it up there for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I'm not a big, like, pink ribbon person. That's a personal choice, but I don't like to... Anyways, I'll bring awareness different ways. So I put that up there, and what it is a picture of me on a stage in front of a couple thousand people, and I had my shirt taken off, wearing a little pink crop top with sparkles, and I was holding my jacket and I was swinging it around. Okay, so the context of this was about 2 months after my chemo, my daughter was going to a convention in the States for dance. And they're very expensive, these conventions, because all of the famous people from around everywhere teach there. So I think it's like $800 to go to this, plus your hotel. So it's a very busy weekend and very expensive. So what they were doing is they were going to have a parent dance-off. And whoever won that parent dance-off, then they got to win this $1,000 package for the place called 24/7. And so Juliana's like, oh, mom, you got to do it. And I was like, yeah. I'm like, but Juliana, I'm like, okay, we got to look at this. We got to think about this. I don't have very good stamina right now. So I've got to think outside the box. I'm not the best dancer. There's other moms that do backflips and stuff. So I'm like, but what I do have, honey, is a good attitude and showmanship. So that's what our angle is. So we were out thrift shopping earlier that day, and she found this pink outfit that she was going to wear for like either a photo shoot or just anyways, it was just a cheap costume that was really cute. So I tried it on and it sort of fit because I'm flat. So it kind of worked, and I'm like, I'm going to wear this. So anyways, I ended up wearing that, and I was wearing a black zip-up jacket, so it looked like I was just dancing, and then all of a sudden, I took off the shirt, the sweater, and I, like, spun it around, and then I did, like, a little booty shake, and of course, with my bald head, I feel like, you know, that was kind of got some extra points, because I think it was pretty clear that I had just gone through chemo, but yeah, anyways, I won.
Of course you did.
There's a video. There's a full video of that. So Juliana posted it. That's how I got it. So she posted it for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And actually, I am going to share the video on my, I have an Instagram page that I just launched, Build with Tam. So if anybody wants to see that video, you're going to have to just go to my page. I'm not just giving it out to anybody. You have to work for it. But it's good. It's good. I think it will make you laugh.
Yeah, but it's totally worth it. And I mean, I giggled so hard because, and actually I'm glad that you're sharing it with people that are following Build with Tam, because if you take a look at the people behind you and the looks on their faces, like, I mean, you can almost live that moment. It was great. I mean, anybody who knows you knows that this, I mean, I'm not even surprised. I wanted an explanation, but yeah. I'm not surprised. So yeah, I'm proud of you for that. And of course you won, and congratulations to that. And again,
thank you. You know, okay. I do have something to tell you about this. You don't know this. Juliana ended up winning a year of going to these. She got a standout award for it. So she gets a full year of that, of those conventions all around the US. So I actually didn't have to do that. We prepped for it, but then she won that and she's like, Mom, now you don't have to go up.
Oh.
And this is where I'll get emotional. And I said, you know what, Juliana? I want to go up and I want to do it for me. And I want to go out there and I show it and be proud. And yeah. And so I actually went up there and I did it 100% for me. And it felt really good. Yeah. Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tamara, I can't thank you enough for sharing your story with me and others. I love you inside and out. And again, I'm proud of you. And I'm so happy that you're here today. Is there anything else that you would like to tell anybody or our listeners that I might have missed?
I think the only thing is that there's so much support out there. Reach out. There's tons of support on Facebook groups. They're very inspiring, but they're also great when you're having those bad days because people get it. And the Gilda's Club, like there's different groups that you can have or like attend that are so helpful. But then there's me as well. And I, you know, like I said, I feel like I was given this as a gift to help and inspire others. And I take that very serious. And if I can help anybody, I want to. So you know what? You have my Instagram at Build with Tam. And if anybody, you know, just wants to ask questions or is curious about how I decided to go flat versus, you know, reconstruction or this versus that, or I would be more than happy to connect. It would be a pleasure. It would be my honor.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for creating that. The Build with Tam too, because there are people out there that might have questions that, you know, even somebody might have all the friends and all the family and all this, I think it's important to connect with somebody who has or is going through the same thing. That's a
and
whole
it's,
different
it's
level.
Tricky. It's tricky with friends and family,
right?
Because it's friends and family. So right. A lot of the stuff that I did, everyone has an opinion. So I didn't tell anybody anything. It's like, This is my journey. I'm making informed decisions. I would maybe talk to a handful of people that I knew that wouldn't be judgmental or not, like, but some people, it just, they're so scared for you. And they haven't done the same research that you have done. So that's why I talk about, you know what, like you are your own advocate, do your own research, pros and cons, but you have to be in the right mental frame of mind to be able to take in that information because you have a job to do. That is what it is. You have a job to do and you're going to do it.
Tamara, You're so inspirational and you're, all of the advice you've given today. Again, once again, like, thanks for sharing your story and for anybody just in general, actually just to go see that video, follow Build with Tam, follow Build with Tam on Instagram. So thank you again, Tamara.
You're so welcome, Mom.
Awesome. So thank you. Thank you. And thanks everyone for joining us and stay tuned because we're going to have another episode of the Building Dreams podcast coming up and lots of special guests to come and make sure you follow so you don't miss a thing. And you can follow us on YouTube and Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thanks again, Tamara.
Okay, thanks, Penny. Okay, bye.